This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Health News Digest. I'm Tina Camilla. In the studio with me, as usual, is T. Xiaoik. And this time around, we have a special guest, our Bigger Picture producer, Juliet Jacobs. And we're talking about stories from the kitchen.
One test that has been making its rounds on social media is the cracker test. Basically, eating a cracker can tell you how well your body digests carbs.
We'll also be looking at whether our tea towels are causing us food poisoning because it may be harboring dangerous bacteria.
But before all of that, you know, I'm wondering why rice makes my child hyperactive.
And to lead us into that story, here's friendly advice from the cramps with don't eat stuff off the sidewalk. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the rice dilemma. BFM 89.9.
Let me give you some advice.
Don't eat stuff off the sidewalk. No, don't eat stuff off the sidewalk. You don't need it, so don't eat it. No, don't eat stuff off the sidewalk.
Welcome back to the show. It's Health News Digest. I'm Tina Camilla. In the studio with me, T. Xiaoik and Juliet Jacobs. We're talking about the rice dilemma. Our colleague here, Juliet Jacobs, with her little hyperactive child, and she thinks that it has to do with the rice that she's eating.
Yeah, but before we go into your story, Juliet, which I'm really interested to hear more about, perhaps just refresher on rice. I know we all eat rice. It's a staple in our diet. Living
must.
In Malaysia. Did you know that rice is 69% water, actually?
I didn't.
Is it the water now? Is that what we're blaming the hyperactivity on?
It's in the water. Well, no. I mean, the rest of rice is actually composed of mostly carbohydrates and very negligible amounts of protein, trace amounts of minerals. So it's really not considered healthy in that sense, but it is a very important form of energy in our diet. The carbs themselves are actually mainly in the form of starch. They form 90% of the dry matter. Starch, I mean, we use this term quite interchangeably with carbs. We talk about starchy foods, mm-hmm. right? So starch is the most common form of carbohydrates in our foods. We go into the biochemistry of it. It's made up of long chains of glucose known as amylose and amylopectin. Tina's nodding. She's remembering her bio lessons. Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, different types of rice. And we have that in our diet, don't we? We have basmati rice. We have the sticky rice, glutinous, fragrant rice and all that. So there's a certain type of rice that's high in amylose, such as basmati rice, which does not stick together after cooking. And so that's actually what we would like loosely say, oh, it's not as starchy.
Okay.
Amylose also slows down the digestion of starch and is often associated with what they call resistant starch, which acts as a sort of fiber in our system. And the reason I bring that up is because we'll be looking more at this resistant starch later on in the story.
Nice. Let's come back to Juliet's story and why her child is so hyperactive.
Okay, so I feel bad because every time I appear on the show, it's to talk bad about my poor child. But she is.
No, we are not talking bad about
your child. We're trying to look for answers.
Answers, yes, answers. Yes. Answers to her hyperactivity, answers to her boundless energy. So I always feed her dinner. After work, I go home, I play with her, I feed her dinner. And I notice that after she has eaten her, home-cooked meal, which is usually rice, vegetables, and protein, usually chicken, immediately after that, she becomes hyper. And I mean like frenetic kind of energy, like, you know, racing around the room, running up and down, screaming, just utterly insane to a very tired mother. So I was trying to think, you know, is it something she's eating? Because I've taken her to the playground, I've tired her out. But after she's had her food, there's a surge in energy. And I was thinking, it can't be the veggies and the chicken causing this kind of spike. Is it maybe the rice?
But why? How did you come to the conclusion that it's not the vegetables or the chicken?
Because it's really bland, you know, boiled vegetables.
But rice is bland too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that, okay, this is my limited understanding of it. You know, the starch, the sugar, the body converting it all into energy and sugar, that was my sort of very layman kind of.
I mean, you're not wrong in that rice would be the source of the starch and the energy. Mm-hmm. If we want to know a little bit more about what's in rice, mm-hmm, and what's happening in our body when we eat it, let's hear from Dr. Tee Seong, who's a nutritionist.
Rice mainly contains carbohydrates. Well, the common word is starch. What happens is when people take rice or carbohydrate, their body digests it. The digestion starts from the mouth, actually, when one chews the rice or any other carbohydrates and start breaking down the small pieces. Enzymes start acting on the rice, on the carbohydrate, continuing the stomach and the small intestine. And as the process goes on by different kinds of enzymes, what happens is the starch, which is composed of many, many units of glucose or sugars, is broken down and releases the individual sugars called monosaccharides. And most of this from rice is glucose. There, after that, the glucose in the small intestine is absorbed by the body into the bloodstream, and the blood then carries the sugar into different parts of the body to be used. So what happens to this glucose is that we commonly say that the glucose is burned. Burn meaning is metabolized in the body, and energy is released in that process. Energy is captured and then used for many other activities that we all do, right, in the daily lives.
So that's the energy that you're seeing, what you describe as a frenetic.
It is. But you've seen it yourself.
Yes, I have. I'm curious, Juliet, you said immediately. Mm-hmm. Is it literally after she's completed her meal?
Yes, there's that just sudden upsurge in energy and the... The insanity begins, lah, is what I like to call it. And there's, you know, tearing around the room, running up and down. And
How long does it take her to wear that out?
Hours. So what I ended up doing was making her dinner time earlier and earlier, and then actually taking her out to play after she's eaten. So like we'll have dinner at like maybe 6 and then take her out to the playground at like 7 in our neighborhood playground just to kind of burn off some of the energy. And in that playground, she's going utterly insane as well. Mm.
So, do you notice the same effect with other types of carbohydrates? Maybe bread, potatoes, noodles?
She doesn't eat noodles much, and she eats very negligible amounts of bread.
You have very strong anecdotal evidence. You're really observing it over a period of time.
I did.
Okay, so I posed your question to Dr. T. Okay. Can rice cause hyperactivity?
With rice and other carbohydrate foods like bread or potato, these are similar kinds of foods where they contain a lot of starch. It is unlikely that consuming rice and other starchy foods and even fruits that can bring about hyperactivity among children. Rice has to undergo breaking down process in the body, enzymes of the egg on them, release of sugar. So the release of sugar is much slower compared to if I drink a fruit juice, you know? That composed mostly of sugar, and that gets absorbed very fast into the bloodstream. So rice is even more unlikely that taking rice, which take a long time, I mean longer time to digest and being absorbed into the body, is going to cause hyperactivity.
So how now?
I think Dr. T is just saying my child is crazy, lah.
a normal 2.5. No, three.
Almost three year old, yes. But I don't know. I mean, you have a son as well. Do you notice this happening with him?
My son is hyper all the time, regardless of what he eats.
But do you see a sudden surge after he's had his meal?
No. He's hyper all the
time. Okay, all right, okay.
We have different issues.
It's the water then.
Maybe it's just an emotional response to her like for rice. You know what I mean?
Yes, because
it's like some people have, they feel better after they have their favorite beverage. It's not what's in the beverage, but their emotional association with that beverage.
My only argument to that is that she hates eating and she has to be force-fed. So maybe it's that, you know, just having to sit down and eat her food, you know, and after that it's just like, ha, 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 freedom.
Perhaps, yes,
who knows. But there's always that association. The rice, I don't know, that was the only thing I could come up with.
But let's look at some studies in the sugar hyperactivity connection.
Yeah, so I mean, the sugar link, you would not be the only one who's observed a link between sugar and hyperactivity. And it actually goes back to 1973 when allergist Benjamin Feingold, he published something called the Feingold Diet, where he advocated a diet free of salicylates, food colorings, and artificial flavoring for treating hyperactivity. And from there, because he was linking food additives, refined sugar also got lumped in to causing hyperactivity. Now, the evidence doesn't hold up. I don't understand why, because everyone is, you know, every single parent you talk to will say, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, one meta-analysis done in 1995, which looks at a lot of different studies that have been researching it, found that sugar could not be shown to affect behavior or cognitive performance. A 1994 study is actually very interesting. This one looks at, I guess maybe that's the emotional response, but this one was about parents. So it looked at parents' expectations after their children ate sugar. So one group of mothers were told that their children were drinking something sugary. The second group knew that their children were actually drinking something with artificial sweeteners. So artificial sweeteners don't contain sucrose, so they don't have that same effect. So the mothers who thought that their sons had been consuming sugar said they were more hyperactive than the mothers who knew that they had drank a placebo. So they were projecting that expectation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, those same mothers not only criticized their children more, they also tended to stay closer to them and, you know, hover over them. So it changed the mother's behavior as well because of what they were expecting to observe. It's a bit strange that for an association that everyone, we almost sort of know it for a fact, there's really not much evidence studying it.
Any researchers listening, please use my child as as your subject, because I'm sure she will change the results of that. The moment I give her ice cream, and this was even before I was even projecting anything, nothing, you know, it was just try it a little bit. She refused to sleep, and this was her first birthday when I actually gave her like ice cream cake, right? Mm. She didn't sleep until like 1 or 2 because she was just screaming and running after she had that intake of sugar. She was actually already winding down. Then my mother-in-law gave her some cake and the child proceeded to go insane.
I think she's just reacting to the fact that she received affection from her grandmother on her birthday.
But that was happening the whole day. It was when the sugary desserts came into play at like 8 p.m. at night that, you know, this kind of happened. So, I mean, it's just insane.
So let's just hear a quick word from Dr. T again about his advice regarding sugar consumption.
From my reading, I do not think that there is strong evidence to say that consuming sugary foods and drinks, for example, a candy or a high sugar fruit juice, will cause or bring about hyperactivity in children. There is no strong evidence to say that. Having said that, we do not need to derive the energy from sugar. Shouldn't sugar, like sucrose that we add to our coffee, our drinks, sugar that we add to our cakes, our kuih talam and all those local foods and drinks, we do not need sugar from those kind of sources. They may not cause hyperactivity, as I mentioned, but on the other hand, these are extra sugar and extra energy that a child does not need, especially if the child is sedentary, does not do much activity and just sit down and study or look at computers and play electronic games. So the energy, extra energy is not used, and extra energy then become deposited, converted to fat and deposited in the body. It is linked to overweight and obesity. So my advice to parents themselves and the children especially, that they should not take too much of sugar in their daily diet. We can derive all our energy or sugar from foods, carbohydrate foods.
Well, at least we know that your child, Juliet, is very physically active. So
She is
burning off
yes,
all those...
Yes, she will
It's just her poor mother who doesn't get much sleep as a result.
Hey, you burn it off with her, man.
I die. I can't keep up with her.
I found some interesting factoids about how we can sort of change the properties of carbohydrates in our cooking process. So maybe this is something you want to try out, Juliet. Apparently, cooking and then cooling carbohydrate foods turns the refined carbs into the resistant starch that I was describing earlier. So resistant starch takes longer to break down, and it's better for our system. So if you were to, say, cook pasta or rice, and then you cool it down, apparently that causes the structure of the starch to break down. And when they cool, a new structure is formed. It becomes the resistant starch.
Oh.
Freezing also turns starch into the resistant form.
Okay.
So what I read was, if you freeze your bread and then, you know, toast it when you want to eat it, you'd be, you know, eating it in a different form. It could potentially be better for you.
Potentially, so there's no kind of
conclusive
science. No. Okay, all right.
Well, anyway, more studies will be needed to look into how different types of foods can be altered to act more like resistant starch, and maybe this could come in handy for especially people with diabetes.
All right, up next, we'll find out how well our bodies digest carbs. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.